Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply glory.
Well, good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad, and we thank God for another opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're on the final lesson of the year before we get into the Christmas season and the message of the year, of course. But we have been studying redemptive living, and we're going to conclude this lesson with two major points on our five-point series. Let's pray and get right into the lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Knowing that this is the day that you have made, we rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority and confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and revelation of thought. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the people's ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and shall be revealed, you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory for it. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Isaiah 63:4 says, for the day of vengeance is in my heart. This is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel. And the year of my redeemed is come. And this year, all this year, we've been studying on understanding what it means to be redeemed. And we've talked about reconciliation in the heavenlies occurring through our understanding redemption. It is the objective of this lesson to affirm our redemptive history with Scripture that resolves the mandate of our redemption to a lifestyle of righteousness intended for every believer to live. I want to say that last part so it rings home. The resolve is the mandate of our redemption is to transition to a lifestyle of righteousness intended for every believer to live. And that's where we're going to pick up. We started off by letting you know that redemption must begin with Jesus the man and his to reveal the plan of salvation in addition to purchasing the eternal penalty for sin and provides power to live out our authentic Christianity. We said that redemption means to buy back or to resolve the penalty of something purchased at a previous time. And redemption is intended for us to manifest through submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything in our Christian experience began with the reality of our redemption, and it is our redemption that charts that path. So the redemptive work is both sacrificial and it's supernatural. We gave 5 points in this lesson, and we're on the fourth and fifth point tonight. So the first three were laying out the platform of redemption. We took it in Titus chapter 2, 11, 15, and we understood that the platform of redemption is the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, and our understanding of his reign, his role, his resolve gives the necessary knowledge for us to attain redemption. But it's locked up in him. And so we have to deeply in him and learn that we are sufficient through Christ. We have sonship through Christ. We have saving faith through Christ. We have soundness of mind based on the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ. And we have supernatural strength through Christ. And I'm going to talk about that supernatural strength tonight and bring it even more home. We also begin to talk about this platform, how the platform of redemption goes back to the original purchase of sin in exchange for life. And life is what we are acquiring. Life is what we're trying to manifest when we go after the things of God through salvation. It is the platform of redemption that reverses the curse, not only on the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. And through the sacrifice of the cross, based on Jesus' blood, we have access to God by faith in him. Jesus restored and corrected creation. He corrected corruption. He corrected condemnation. And then he corrected even consecration, the acts of religion. And then in all things, he's going to correct the nation so that we will live and experience the God kind of life on earth as it is in heaven. The second point of the lesson was to lead to the pool of reconciliation. God takes us. And we went to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, where we dealt with the beggar that was waiting at the pool of Bethesda and how God uses reconciliation to reestablish our close relationship that he intended for us. It settles and resolves and brings back to an accepted state. one that is compatible and consistent with God. And when we do that, we don't know people after the flesh, but after the spirit. We also went to several passages in the scriptures to affirm what reconciliation does. We concluded that reconciliation was activated by a personal revelation and a resolve to of the Lord Jesus Christ. We said that revelation is acknowledging the act of forgiveness and or submission. We also said that reconciliation is altered when it's resolved, when resolve is not attained by faith. So we got to allow God to have his perfect work in us that we are wanting nothing. We also learned that reconciliation is anointed in the lives of every person that calls on the name of the Lord, and that reconciliation is a ministry commanded of God for every believer to achieve. On the last lesson, we dealt with light for the path. That was our third point, light for the path, that the entrance of God's word give life. We took you to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and we dealt with letting you know that when Christ is our life, the first measure of grace allotted for us is clarity. And this clarity gives us knowledge on our place in him and his plans, also the provisions of these plans to be actualized in a lifestyle. And that's what we're going to talk about, this lifestyle today. And then we said that that lifestyle is awakened through the revelation of the Gospels, which is the intent of God's plan, released through the power, his power, on our behalf to live out the reality that he intends for us to live. I didn't give you the answer, but I led us to the power of light, because we understand that the entrance of the word gives light, and he gives us light for our path. We also said that the light of God is the knowledge of God, and that light gives insights on what, when, why, who we are connected to, and that's the Lord Jesus, and how to use it for our advantage. And then we took you to several scriptures like Luke 11, Psalms 36, Psalms 43, and Psalms 56, and gave a understanding that God has enabled us to obtain that light, and that life is going to come through the path of light. Well, tonight, let's pick up where we left off and start in Ephesians chapter 4. Tell me the Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to focus on 17 through 24. But we have to refer to the overall picture of Ephesians to really grasp and get the connotation in which God was addressing. Now, before we do that, the Lord reminded me of something. When we talk about redemption, redemption is God's plan for us to experience his life. In a nutshell, and at salvation, a lot of stuff happens, but until we get an understanding, and all about getting an understanding, we will not experience what God has enabled us to live. Now, I want you to write down these scriptures, Galatians 4, 1, Ephesians 3:16, Ephesians 2:6, and I want you to kind of just meditate on God's ability and God's empowerment that enables us to live this life. And what it does is three things, and I want to give it to you right quick. Take your notes. I know this is a little addendum to my normal five principles. But number one is this. We need to access God's power through the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that is the intelligence of God. That's one of the things that the Spirit of God gave me when we were just kind of in my own personal time, revamping on the power of the Holy Spirit. He said that my spirit is my intelligence. It contains the innermost thoughts that I have for the plans of the earth. It is the truth which it carries. Of course, you know, Jesus described the Holy Spirit in chapters 15, 16, and 17 of John, but it's the Holy Spirit that we have to access. And we have access through the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the Christian life. Then number two, we have to accept the finished work of Christ and accept the authority of his name. That's what we have to do. And that's what Ephesians talks about. And then thirdly, we have to advance our understanding and knowledge of the scriptures that contain the truth of God's word, which the Holy Spirit sheds light on. It's not only just attaining knowledge But it's a knowledge of God's word which the Holy Spirit attains life for. Now, the book of Ephesians is one of Paul's writings, and Paul speaks of to the church, the real church, as the body of Christ, and the believers are the members of the body of Christ. And so it is through this book that we learn, I call it the Magna Carta of the church, several things that we learn about being in the Lord Jesus. And I think I've given you this, but just for the sake of remembrance, I'm going to run down through it of just the first and second chapters, some of the things in which we learn. Sometimes we go to so many chapters and verses that we really don't understand why we're studying what we're studying. And we're studying this so that we can live a principled life. Now, the book of Ephesians was written so that the church would know what Jesus did to accomplish that life. And so we find out that we are, number one, in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1:1, we are blessed in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, we are chosen in him. Ephesians 1:4, we are adopted by Christ. Ephesians 1:5, we are accepted and beloved. Ephesians 1:6, we are redeemed and forgiven in Christ. That's what we're talking about. Ephesians 1:7, we are revealed in the intent of God's will because of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1:9. Everything is centered around Christ in Ephesians 1:10. And Christ, of course, is the Spirit of God which the Lord Jesus possessed. It's the intelligence of the Lord Jesus. And he's given us that intelligence through the Holy Spirit. We have then inheritance in Christ, Ephesians 1:11. We are glorified in Christ, Ephesians 1:12 and 13. We have faith in Christ, Ephesians 1:15. We have wisdom in him, Ephesians 1:17. We have hope in Christ, Ephesians 1:18. We have power in Christ. Ephesians 1:19-20, we are quickened and made alive in Christ. Ephesians 2:5-6, we are created in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, we are made nigh or brought near to God in Christ. Ephesians 2:13, we are growing in Christ. Ephesians 2:21, we are built in Christ. Ephesians 2:22, we are partakers of his promise. Ephesians 3:6, and we have wisdom, the wisdom of God manifested in Christ. Ephesians 3:10-11, and we have boldness and access through Jesus Christ to the Lord God. Ephesians 3:12, what he does is give us position. What is that position? That position is righteousness. Our redemption always leads us to righteousness. And so we also go further along that the story of redemption reveals that God planned it, Jesus the Son paid for it, and the Spirit of God is what applies it to our life. God gives us his grace, and he restores our inner man through the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. He that is united to the Lord is one spirit with him, so that we can as believers, can fully realize our privileges in Christ. And he wants our eyes of our understanding to be enlightened that we might behold the glory that is in Christ. Now, by the time one of the beautiful commentaries that I read often of the scripture takes a connotation of there being rooms in the book of Ephesians. They use the chapters as the rooms. They use it as the, you know, how God has elaborately privileged us as believers to live this life by giving us access. That's what I wanted to emphasize in this commentary on Ephesians, that it is through us being strengthened by his Spirit and Christ being in our hearts through the Spirit of God that our understanding is extended and heightened through God's love. So what happens is there's a lot of things going on in us. And Ephesians 4 talks about that being enhanced to giving or gift, rather, to the church. So we, through loving humility and his peace that surpasses understanding, are enabled to walk in God's love, walk in God's light, and walk in God's likeness. And that's what we need to know as believers, that we have been enabled. Now, Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, and go a little deeper into the Word of God. This I say, therefore, and testify to the Lord, that ye hence walking not as the Gentiles walk. These are people related to God by birthright. They were not, they were considered a cursed people based on their culture, based on their the manner in which they were conceived at birth, which was uncircumcised. They were people that were not covenanted. So when you hear Gentile, he said, do not walk as people that have no covenant. They were a covenantless people in the vanity of their mind. So that's where the pollution begins, having their understanding what? Dark and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Now, that gives a principle, and the principle that that gives is that light principle that we were talking about, the light of the knowledge of God. Ignorance of God has caused their minds to be darkened and alienated from the life. Then it is the knowledge of God that awakens us and brings that awakens us and brings us into the life of Christ. It's the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God is found in the Word of God. It says, "Look, listen. Let's keep reading. I'm just exegeting the text. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. It was embedded because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart state. Your heart state is a life state. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The heart is a metaphor to the core of your understanding, and the thinking process is what God considers your heart, your mindset, what your mind is focused on." How can you live a principled life dedicated to God if your mind is not focused? And that's what, excuse me, that's what this particular passage addressed. It says, but look, who being past feeling, see, it makes everything in life sensual. I feel, I think, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, a life full of lust that works all uncleanness with greediness, unthankful. People that are not connected to God because they don't have God's intent. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now here's the solution. If you're going to live a life that's full of light, it's going to lead to Christ. But if you live a life that turns your walk and your understanding to the dark side, it alienates you from the life of God, and it discredits the knowledge, the potential knowledge that you would have access to in Christ. And that's what I call a counterfeit Christianity, where they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And Christ is the, not Jesus' last name, but is the intelligence of the Lord Jesus by spirit. Christ is, when you hear Christ Jesus, that spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What is it? The characteristics of the Lord Jesus. Go back to Philippians 1. It says, let this mind, let this intent be in you, which was also in Christ. Right? That Christ is that spirit. Why? Because we have access to God the Father through Christ Jesus. And so ye be that ye have heard him, cometh by hearing, and have been taught by him. How? As in the truth that's in Jesus. That's only, you can only attain the truth that is in Jesus by the Holy Ghost. That ye put off your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. What's the spirit of your mind? Christ. And he put on the new man, which after God is created. Now, here's a teaching that we're going to deal with a little bit next year, in righteousness and true holiness. So God has commanded us, when we take off the old nature by way of redemption, to resolve to his life and this new reality of life in the righteousness and holiness that comes through Christ Jesus. So living a principled life through redemption resolves to righteousness. Do you get my point? Now, that's what we're going to express tonight just a little more as we have a few minutes left in this teaching. Now, I got to get through the next point. I may have to refer it and go deeper. But I need you to understand that the principle in the Christian life is access to the life of God through the Holy Spirit. So you have to access God's power through the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit has been sent to lead us into truth. You can't live a Christian life without having an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And, you know, we say Holy Ghost, but we really mean Spirit, which means the intelligence of God. That's a good way. The essence, the intent of God, where God's life and intent for our life becomes our reality. That is the principal life which God has shed light, which is knowledge, for us to attain through and by Jesus Christ. And that's what redemption teaches us. It teaches us to look into the life and the ministry of Jesus to attain the things needed for life. Jesus said that I came that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. Glory to God. So there's five principles that we need to understand. Number one is this: living a principled life means resolving to the life of Christ. And that life of Christ is expressed through godliness. I said living a principled life is resolving to live to a lifestyle of Christ. And that lifestyle translates to godliness, because Jesus only did what his Father did and only said what his Father said. So as we look into the life of Jesus and we put Christ on that, we're talking about the Spirit, which we are renewed in. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which is after God, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. So there's a realm of life that is released through light, the knowledge of God, which is found in the Word of God and is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And as we come in contact with the Spirit of God, we can live this life, resolving to a lifestyle of Christ, which is godliness. Now, let me give you a good definition of godliness, and I believe you'll never forget it if you apply it to life. Godliness is a lifestyle that, number one, restricts sin. Point blank, restricts sin. Number two, it reflects the Holy Spirit. It restricts sin, it reflects the Holy Spirit, and it resolves to Christ as final authority. That's one of the greatest definitions. And of course, you can look at that and see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're still exegeting the text of tonight, which is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as is the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is created after which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So when we talk about living godliness and putting on the nature and putting on the new man of God through the revelation of redemption, we're talking about a lifestyle that restricts sin, reflects the Holy Spirit, and resolves to Christ as final authority. That means at the end of the day, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us as the way Jesus has instructed us to live, that's what we're going to do. That means you got to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And you shouldn't do anything else if you profess Christianity until you have that encounter. Number three is this: living godliness cannot be actualized as personal holiness until holiness is opened up to a commitment to the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that comes and is gained by a relationship with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Christians out here that don't understand. Jesus told his disciples, and anybody, just trace it, when the New Testament begins, and it's not during the Gospels, the Testament cannot be enforced until the testator dies, so we know it's not until the book of Acts that the New Testament begins. Any time that you saw anybody that operated after Acts was Spirit-filled. Jesus said, hey, don't do anything until the promise of the Spirit be fulfilled. In other words, you got to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit in order to live a principled life. That's what redemption does. If redemption doesn't lead to an awakening of the Holy Spirit, a regeneration of the Holy Ghost, which means this, when the word re is over a generation, that means you're taking the generation back to the original intent which God has set forth. And God had enabled, the Bible says God breathed into the nostril of man and man became a living soul. What did he breathe? The spirit of himself, the intent of himself, the intelligence of himself. Hallelujah. So it is that empowerment of the Holy Spirit that comes. And now the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in word, but is in power. And we know that the power is righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So anything relating to the kingdom, anything relating to your life as a believer is capitalized under your experience with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm challenging you. When we talk about living a principled life, it is not taking facts of the scriptures and applying it at will. It is aggressively engaging the scriptures, prayer and dialogue to come and encounter with God. The Bible says our spirit groans and travails for the manifestations of the sons of God. How can we manifest? For those whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of God. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. It is our spirit man that is craving to be made alive. And so when we talk about encountering the power of the Holy Ghost, we're not just talking about just speaking in tongues. We're talking about an encounter where God's word becomes alive in us because at the core of our heart, at the core of our intent, lies a power that God has embedded in humankind to connect with their creator, to reveal his intent in the earth. And that is through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the psalm writer wrote. Right. And he delighted, he develops light for our path. And that light drives us into the presence of the Holy Spirit through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Number four, living a godly life means prioritizing the knowledge of the scriptures and the guidelines for establishing your conduct as best as you can to display Christ would have do in this present time. So what you do, what is Christ? Christ is the intelligence of God. You look at the scriptures intelligently. And you say, how do I apply this to my life today? You don't just look at it historically. You don't look at it charismatically, appreciating the experiences of the Spirit that happened in that day. But you ask God to make it relevant for you through his Spirit, through understanding, wisdom, and knowledge as God reveals light. And you continue to thank God for opening it and encountering. Because what's happening in the world is that over half of the Christian population don't feel like they're connecting with God spiritually. So they intellect or approach the intellect, which is really, you can't approach real intellect without revelation. It is revelation knowledge that awakens the intellect and stirs the soul aright. You can't do that without the intent of the Holy Ghost, the geniusness of the Holy Ghost enabling light to be shown. Some of you just haven't given God enough time for him to expose you to the nature and the power of God at work over your life. You've got to give time. What you give time to transforms you. Hallelujah. So living a godly life prioritizes the knowledge of the scriptures and guidelines, establishing your conduct as best as you can to display what Christ would have you to do in this present time. God wants to transform and show you how it really is in this present time. I got a few minutes left. I'm going to go a little bit over time, but we've got to finish this lesson. Living godly is the reality of aligning all priorities to achieve God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Living godly is our putting God's objectives in reality and aligning all priorities to achieve God's will on earth. That's what you say. See, it says denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And prioritizing the knowledge of God through the renewal of the mind. Now, the renewal of the mind can't take place until you change the way you think. And then you prove what is that good and perfect will of the Father. So transformation, which we're going to talk about in the next year, can occur until the renewal of the mind takes place. And you got to ask God how you can renew your mind, and you renew your mind in the knowledge of God. There's no way around it. You got to connect to God instinctively through His knowledge. And if you can't believe what is written, Lord knows you won't be able to believe what is perceived with the natural senses. So God wants to illuminate us. God wants to illuminate our understanding so that we can live His priorities and live His reality, aligning all priorities to achieve God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I don't have time to go into this last principle, but I've hit on it. I've hit on it all throughout the night. I do want to give you something before I leave, though, and I'm going to teach on righteousness through the through transformation next year, and I'm going to hit a little bit on it in the last message of the year. But I want to give you the theology of divine righteousness. Write these 10 scriptures down: Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 25. Number 2, Romans chapter 2, verses 19 through 27. Romans chapter 2, verses 19 through 27. Number 3, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Number 4, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Now, I'm giving you a note that all of this is in Romans, so you need to read the whole book of Romans, but I'm just giving you where the theology, which means what God's intent is about righteousness. I don't have time to go through all of it, but we will go through it in another teaching. Romans 6, chapter 12 through 23. Romans 6, chapter 12 through 23. And then also Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. I quoted a little bit of it. Now, let me give you the second five scriptures that I want you to understand. Number one is Galatians. This is the theology of righteousness again, but it's Galatians 5, chapter 1 through 10. Galatians 5, chapter 1 through 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 9. Romans chapter 10, verses 2 through 9. Number 3 is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 30, which we just read. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 30. And then 1 John 5, chapter 5, verses 5 through 21. Again, that's 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 21. Now, if you have those 10 scriptures that I've read, and some of them I repeated twice, and you can follow along, just download the teaching, and you'll get it over and over again, you'll have a greater understanding of righteousness, and I will teach on that at another time. But I think it's very important that you understand that the resolvers to the righteousness, that we resolve and awaken the new man, which is created in righteousness, and true holiness, which means a counter holiness, and something that's true. Something that's false. So you want to make sure that you access true holiness, and we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got 5 minutes, and I got to take all five of them. Praise the Lord. So you got to pray for me. 5-10 minutes at the most. Now, point number five, not only are we living a principle like that, I'm giving you five principles. Let me make sure I give it to you in this teaching so you know. Number one is we have to we're laying out the platform of redemption. That's what we did in this teaching. That was number one. We laid out the platform. Number two, we laid out the platform of redemption. We were led to the pool of reconciliation. Then last week, we went for the light of the path to life, and then we just talked about living a principled life through redemption. And then I want to resolve it with reminding you to leap from principle to power. Because remember I was talking about the Holy Spirit, until you engage into the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't experience the God kind of life. And God's highest power is His love, for God is love. And in Him there is no darkness at all. Now, Ephesians 5, 1 through 20, you're going to have to write that down. I'm going to read it quickly. Oh, but I want you to write down these scriptures. I have time to get to them, but I want you to write down three supporting passages. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 6. Titus chapter 2, 7 through 15. Hebrews chapter 10, 37 through 39. I'm just going to have to... you're going to have to get the curriculum, the expanded version of this teaching. There's two more lessons to this entire chapter. This is just one lesson, mini-series, three-part on the radio broadcast, but the full series is three parts, and there's two other parts that you have not even heard, and I want you to hear them especially the second part, which is redemptive rights. Talk about rights, and I talk about the legality of redemption, the level of Paul writes, the limitations of the law for sin and salvation, living, the love force, which I'm going to talk a little bit about in a second, and the life of God ascribed to divine liberty, because righteousness will awaken the liberty of God. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we'll close there for tonight. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. Now, it goes explicit as to what you got to do. But fornication and uncleanliness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you. Now, this is what he's calling us to righteousness. When we talk about defining righteousness, he said, don't let it be named once among you as becoming or mature saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. So it's saying, hey, this ain't something easy, but rather giving of thanks. Now, we've got to enter into a realm of thanksgiving to really transform us. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Here we go. He didn't say the kingdom of Jesus. He said Christ. What is Christ? Christ is the intelligence of God, or the intelligence of Jesus expressed through our spirit man, in us, and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Not the children of the devil, but the children who don't comply to live the God kind of life. Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Those are all derivatives of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, it says the fruit of the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's one fruit that's capitalized in three categories, goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done in done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved, which are corrected, are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth manifest is light. Wherefore, seeing, awake thou, sleepers, and rise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Say that. Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, correct. Not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord. You see how all of the terminology is connecting knowledge, understanding the will of the Lord. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. We got to have access to that Holy Spirit. See, this is the real filling of the Spirit. But see, filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns, spiritual songs that make your melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I would tell you more, but you could not bear it. So we understand that God has done a mighty work in our redemption, and God has enabled us to live the Christian life through and by the Holy Ghost. And what as we trek this knowledge and as we trek this insight, can live as the redeemed. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that something that has been said, taught, expounded upon, has reached the hearts of your people to pray for your righteousness and to pray for the reality of life that you've intended for every one of us to live. Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Open our understanding to know the hope of his calling to us. To us, God, you have separated us. You have provoked our attention to get us to a lifestyle where you can reveal yourself even greater than we can think or imagine. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would have your way. Take your liberty. Take your access on every point, every corner. Every itching ear to hear truth, providing a lot of opportunity and an encounter with God that is undeniable, almost unexplainable, and attainable by you and you alone. God, I ask you to continue to bless and empower your sons and daughters to walk in the path that you have called us to walk as the redeemed. And Father, we can rejoice with those who have even gone on before, those that have walked in the essence and the power of your Spirit, that we are redeemed, bought by the blood of Jesus, and living a life in which he has intended us to live. We praise you for your word, and we thank you that your word has proper course and freedom to do what you have assigned it to do. Let it not fall on deaf ears tonight, Father. Be glorified in all that is said and done. It is in Jesus' precious name that we praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I thank you, and I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. We have been on right redemptive living, and we're going to lead to the trail of righteousness. Now, we got a great Christmas program lined up for you coming, and then the end of the year message. I'm already excited. I'm going into my 25th year of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have not heard anything yet. We have some great things planned for next year, and to God be all the glory and praise. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. God bless you, and good night. I'll see you. You'll check me out on the next one. Download this teaching and let everybody know that we are understanding what it means to be redeemed. God bless you and good night.